Today on Compassion Radio.
We know Peter's story. We know about his denial of Christ. And we know that he has greatly repented of that. And he has been forgiven much. And he loves much. And he serves much. He believes greatly. So he knows the power of forgiveness, the power of the Holy Spirit indwelling him. And he walks in that daily. I think that power is absolutely available to us. I know that it is.
Welcome back to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. Today, Bram and his wife Sandy continue with their weekly study in the book of Acts called Chasing the Word Together. This is Frank Montenegro. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 9. And here's Bram and Sandy with the final part of that study.
So Ananias obviously has some influence with the other believers in the city.
I believe that Ananias was probably a prominent man, probably someone that was well-loved by the community. And so they're thrilled for him. Yep. And they're in awe because they have seen the deterioration of this man over the course of these 8 years.
And in response, it says that they turned to the Lord.
Yes.
So many people beyond just the immediate circle of Ananias saw, understood, and responded. That's a God thing.
Mm-hmm.
Peter didn't spend a lot of time explaining to every single person who Jesus was. Many eyes saw one miracle and believed those who told them about what was going on in that town, and they responded. So obviously, God is making it possible for people to believe. He's expanding their hearts and making them open and ready to receive truth, that God is a healer and he's a redeemer. And this man, Peter, is a faithful servant of that God, and therefore, we trust it. This is no trick. God is up to something. Now, in Joppa, where he went down beyond that place where this miracle happened to Lydda, he visited with the family of Tabitha and all of her friends. And the word means gazelle in that language, and in the Greek, the word is Dorcas, which seems kind of a silly name in our tongue, but it means a beautiful animal. So she was known for being light on her feet and being beautiful. That's people named people for a reason back then. But she was also apparently either a widow or someone who had never married because she spent all of her time serving the poor. And so she was desperately ill. And so people send the words of Peter, come, help the servant. She loves the Lord. She's very ill. Come. That happened to Jesus many times. Often, if not always, Jesus responded and went right away. Peter does the same thing. And by the time he gets there, the wailing has begun.
So while Peter was in Lydda, Tabitha fell sick and died. They had sent word to him to come, but she died before Peter was able to get there. And so they took care of her body. They washed her, prepared her for burial, and laid her in an upstairs room. And I think this is tradition for this culture in the Middle East to have a viewing of the body. We do that here in the States as well. Sometimes you'll go to a funeral home for that sort of thing. But she was laid in this room upstairs in this house.
A living room.
And all of the people who loved her were there and coming, and they were mourning greatly over this death.
They were all filing through like you would at a wake or something.
And so Peter arrives, and all of these women and people of the city that she has ministered to, that she has loved on and served for years, are showing Peter, look at this garment. She made this for me. Look at this beautiful thing she did for me. Let me tell you what.
He was an artist.
Yes. Yeah. Let me tell you about Tabitha. Let me tell you how she loved me. Yeah. And they wanted Peter to know about this woman because she was so loved and so treasured by them. What a beautiful testimony.
Yeah.
What a beautiful testimony. So Peter says, everybody needs to leave the room. Everyone go out. And I think about the story of the little girl that Jesus raised from the dead. And she had already died and had gotten there, and all of the mourners were there, and they're wailing and keening and just having this awful time of grief just happening. And he says to them, leave the room. Makes everyone leave the room. to settle okay. the
she's
place.
She's asleep.
She's asleep.
Yeah. Now, as we would say down here in Texas, when it comes to Peter here, this is not his first rodeo.
Right.
He was there probably in the presence of Jesus when he did this very thing to that young girl. Mm-hmm. This lady, she may be elderly for all we know, but she's absolutely young at heart. She's someone that serves gladly and never stopped. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think she was a unwilling or reticent servant. She was joyfully going about the business of serving God's people. Mm-hmm. So she's well known for that. And I think because we see her handiwork being shown and hung up and displayed, that she was an artist that was renowned for her quality. Mm-hmm. She didn't just make clothes for people who were poor. She gave them beautiful garments. Mm-hmm. So they felt very honored. They were probably given things that only rich people might wear because that's how much she saw the priesthood and the royalty in every believer. And so he knelt down and prayed. Then turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." Mm-hmm. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. Mm-hmm. Interesting about that. It's not just that they're off to something else. They are absolutely attentive to where God's power is coming from. Mm. You know, when people arise or when they're healed by Jesus, they like locked eyes. You see that happening over and over again mm-hmm. in the Gospels, that when something transformed them, they know exactly from where came the power. And when they lock eyes, they're one. Like this friendship is something only you and I share. Mm-hmm. And these people will have this intense experience of the divine entering into their life. Tabitha knows exactly that God's power came through Peter. No doubt about that.
Right. There's a kind of knowing that it happened, knowing where God is pointing her. Mm-hmm. So Peter took her hand and lifted her up. Then he called the other disciples, including the widows, and reintroduced them to their beloved friend. The news of this miracle spread throughout the city, and many believed in the Lord. And Peter stayed in Joppa for some time as the guest of Simon, a tanner by profession. So Peter has upended the cart here. He has traveled from city to city, healing and raising people from the dead and bringing new life into these places.
And of course, we need to say, obviously, it's not Peter raising anybody.
Right.
This is
right.
God's power at work in his very frame.
Absolutely.
And it is not unreasonable, though, to be able to say, as people saw Peter, they saw salvation happen. They mm-hmm. saw resurrection happen. So it's one and the same. You can't separate where Peter ends and where the power of God begins. It's obvious that he inhabits and is an open channel. Mm-hmm. So when they sat down to think about it, they realized this is not Peter's power. This is the power of the living Christ, mm-hmm. who really does own that power. Yet, it's important for us to remind ourselves that Peter didn't have any special dispensation here. He wasn't given a special cup of grace and power that none of us have or can have. Mm-hmm. He was simply there and in it and believing with great faith, and mm-hmm. God chose to use him in this special way at this special time. And Peter has been humbled enough times to know it did not start with him. It ain't going to end with him.
Right.
He's already made a fool of himself in the Gospels, and we all know that. Mm-hmm. And yet, God has empowered him to do these incredible things.
Well, it goes back to that scripture where we read that those who are forgiven much love much.
They do.
And we know Peter's story. We know about his denial of Christ. And we know that he has greatly repented of that, and he has been forgiven much. Mm. And he loves much, and he serves much. He believes greatly. So he knows the power of forgiveness, the power of the Holy Spirit indwelling him, and he walks in that daily. I think that power is absolutely available to us. Mm. I know that it is.
And I think about who God has mercy on in stories like this. When we see Tabitha raised from the dead, of course, we know that technically death is not a thing we worry about because once we're on the other side, we're with Jesus. It's not death, it's life. So in her case, I don't know that God was being particularly merciful to her by sending her back. But she was obedient to follow where the Spirit said go. And Peter believed that God was saying to pray for this. Mm-hmm. God was having great mercy on the people of Joppa.
Right.
By giving them back a treasure they had, they felt the need for God's presence at work in the hands and in the life of, of this Tabitha, this Dorcas, this Tabitha. So God decided to bless them some more with her presence and his presence in her. Mm-hmm. Why it was important for God to send her back, I don't know. But we rejoice that he did, because the story resonates with us now. Mm-hmm. That God can do the most crazy and impossible things, and he does it out of love. Mm-hmm. So I think it would be extraordinarily difficult for me to have crossed over and seen the glory of heaven and be there, be with them, and then get sent back. How hard that must be to have to draw back from that. But how great love must have been to draw her forward to come back to the people, because Jesus was there too. She followed Jesus, and Jesus said, "Come follow me back to this place."
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. Coming up next, more with Bram and Sandy Floria as they chase the word together here on Compassion Radio.
Hello, friends. This is Bram Floria, president of Compassion Radio. Everything we do is done with the intent to build you up in the Christian faith and to give you opportunities to help build the kingdom around the world. We have the great privilege of celebrating our 75th anniversary. It's hard to believe that this unique radio ministry has been on the air for 75 years. Even more amazing, Compassion Radio is the only completely listener-supported radio program on the air this long. We are not funded by a huge church organization or wealthy benefactor. You are our church, our sending agency, and our partners. I know that God has been working through you to make it possible for us to do this work each and every day. Right now, I want to offer you a special opportunity. If this broadcast has ever challenged you in your faith, inspired you to serve, or encouraged you in any way to do better in your walk with God, please let us know right now by supporting this daily radio ministry and the international mission projects of Compassion Radio with your prayers and with your financial support. Please, friends, reach out today to show us that support as we celebrate 75 years of broadcasting a message of hope found in Christ alone. If you're able to invest with a one-time, or better yet, a regular monthly gift, it will go a long, long way to making sure we remain on the air for another 75 years. You can reach us by calling 1-800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. When you're there, just click the donate button at the top. And new for this year, you can give right through your phone. Just text the word compassion to 53445. That's the word compassion to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thank you so much for every prayer and your consistent financial support.
My heart at the bottom. You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
I think it would be extraordinarily difficult for me to have crossed over and seen the glory of heaven and be there, be with them, and then get sent back. How hard that must be to have to draw back from that. But how great love must have been to draw her forward to come back to the people, because Jesus was there too. She followed Jesus, and Jesus said, come follow me back to this place.
But we know from the scripture following this that many people came to know Jesus because of this miracle.
Yes.
And you have to believe that years and years and years after this, Tabitha told this story.
Yeah.
She told her story, and people said to her, what was it like? What was it like to be dead? You know, perhaps she was able to walk with people on their journey as they were dying.
Maybe so.
To give them comfort in a time that seems very frightening to some of us.
Yeah.
We don't know the end of the story in that way, but we do know that because of this, people came to Jesus and God was glorified greatly in her resurrection.
Last verse of this chapter says, and so it was that Peter stayed in Joppa for many days with Simon, a tanner. Now, Simon gets mentioned here as being a great host. And some interesting stuff's going to start happening in the next few days as he houses Peter and then sends him off into other interesting episodes of God's revelation to his people along the coast. But that right there is the end of chapter 9. Have we gone a few places in this chapter?
We've been all over the map.
Yep, literally. And we've been all over God's topography. Mm-hmm. We've seen the highs and the lows of what it's like to be in him. And that Jesus, his spirit, was in all these places doing things. I think that's the biggest takeaway for me is that in a season of miracles, when it seems like you can't turn around without God doing something spectacular, there's still an intense personal experience of people with the Spirit of God that changes everything, that makes death itself endurable. To lose your sight, to be seemingly cursed by God, is survivable because God's up to something and he doesn't leave us in our pit. And he also doesn't give us great power and authority in ourselves and not humble us because he loves us. He's not going to leave us at a place where we will be destroyed by our own temptations. He has a way out. And there's all kinds of extremes that seem to be obvious in the story. People could have gone off the rails, could have gone after the miracles again and got all crazy and not recognize or acknowledge Jesus. But every time they did and knew that God's power was present and that Jesus was Lord and they confessed it, the church grew. The body of Christ, the kingdom of God advanced every single time.
I think it's a beautiful picture of how we can see God at work in many different places at one time. Like you said, sometimes we think, oh, God is at work over in Africa doing some great things, or God is at work in this other state or this other country or this other area of my city. So he's too busy to notice me or to notice the things that I'm doing. Well, this tells me no, he is not too busy. He sees and he knows and he's at work everywhere. He was at work in Joppa because we see the work that Tabitha was doing as a disciple of Christ there before Peter even showed up.
Right.
So we see God at work in these various pockets around the world that it's not too big for him.
In this chapter, the word meanwhile showed up a couple of times.
It did.
And the word in this situation means simultaneously, not just that, oh, another thing happened along the way. It was saying all of this stuff was happening because God was that active. He has his fingers going through the dirt in so many places in the world, growing good things. He's ministering to people and he's informing each other at times saying, this is what I'm up to right now in the life of Saul. This is what I'm up to right now in the life of Ananias. I'm putting you in center stage for a minute because I want to show you what I'm about to do. And I want you both ready to receive what I have for you. And across these centuries, we now can read how God was active in the moment to say, this is who I am, not who I was. He was all those things, but he's never in something without being I am. He's I am right now. And we need to acknowledge that. So even if it feels like there's not a lot going on around us, If we confess Jesus as Lord and say to him, you are Lord of today. You are Lord of my day. I want to know you. God, what do you have for me today? Mm-hmm. What do you want to do today that I might be able to be part of or see or witness or celebrate? Mm-hmm. If we just ask him those things, it's like his ear is itching for us to say those words.
Right.
So we say, oh, I'm so glad you asked. Follow me.
Mm-hmm.
Just walk with me. We'll see it together.
I love that on days when I do pray that kind of prayer and I'm tuning my mind and my ears and my eyes to see the world around me and asking God to show me what he wants me to do that day, there's always a divine appointment set up somewhere. There's always a person or a situation that I can walk into that God has ordained for me to be part of. And that's the place that I want to be. That's the place that we want to be as followers of Jesus.
Yeah.
We want to be in the places that he has ordained for us to be, to see his work and get involved where he's already at work.
To be his hands and his feet and his senders, his workers, his enablers, his mm-hmm. helpers. And that's why we do the projects that we do throughout the months that we're on the air as Compassion Radio. Every month has got something new. It's fun to do and to do together.
Mm-hmm.
And so I invite you to find out more about what we're doing as a ministry to affect the kingdom around the world and to join in.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you can do that by your gifts and your support and your prayers. And we are grateful for every single one of them. So I want to close out since we got to the end of this chapter, honey. It's been a number of weeks that we've been focusing on this, which I love because there's plenty to dig into. There's no shortage of truth and joy to be had by spending time in his word and to do it together. Let's just pray quickly that God will use these words from this chapter to bring us forward to what he has next. God, thank you so much for your word. We are awed by your presence in these words. And we confess and acknowledge you are as present as we pray this prayer together as you were in the hands of Peter raising Tabitha from the dead, as you were in the field encountering Saul and crushing him to the dust and blinding him with your light. You are as present right now in those of us who are willing to confess you as Lord as anywhere where your hand has touched and ministered and healed and proclaimed your gospel in any part of this planet.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you that we're part of that big, simultaneously meanwhile that you're all about. For those who are suffering around the world for your name's sake, I pray, Lord, that your name would be glorified, that your kingdom would advance, and that you would sustain your family, our brothers and sisters, in their hour of trial, and use them to bring your kingdom in ways that could not have advanced without their suffering.
Hmm.
But God, help us to be empathetic and willing to enter into their suffering with them and to supply them with the support and the prayers that they need to continue the work that you've called them to. And to advance the word around the world and be part of this great commission effort throughout the 21st century to get your word into every nook and cranny of this planet and to encourage and equip the church to do its work and really, truly reach everybody, every community, every family, every culture on this planet in this generation. Thank you for enabling us to do these things, and we ask for your presence to be ahead of us and for you to call us into it in the days to come. In your name I pray. Amen.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. If you missed anything today, you can listen again anytime. Just open up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and go to CompassionRadio.com. And while you're there, go ahead and take a moment to find out more about this ministry. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you liked what you heard, please consider supporting Compassion Radio. First, with your prayers. When you pray for us, God increases the effectiveness of this ministry by empowering the Compassion Radio team for service and by opening doors of opportunity for us to be a blessing to the body of Christ. Second, please share this broadcast with a friend or loved one. This will help us reach as many people as possible with the important work God is doing in the lives of those who live in a missional way. And finally, please consider supporting this ministry financially. Compassion Radio is 100% listener-supported. That means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. You can support Compassion Radio right now by calling 800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. When you're there, just click on the donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd like to show your support using your smartphone or tablet, you can just text the word compassion to 53445. That's the word compassion to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. Thanks again so very much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen. And please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.